Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, ACS fans, Lynette here, lasagna baker extraordinaire and lover of all carbs that Adam can't eat. Pussy. Anyway, I wanted to tell you guys that space is filling up for the Carolla Family Barbecue. It's filling up fast. Turns out tons of people are interested in coming to the studio to see where the podcast is recorded and hang out for dinner in the parking lot with everyone from the network. Everyone you guys love. Adam, Gina, Brian, Dawson, myself, lackeys, drinking, grilling, talking to you guys all night long. Ba-beep, ba-beep. So if you want two tickets to the barbecue, there's only one thing you can do. Head to CarollaDrinks.com and sign up for the 12-pack case club now because spots are going fast, so you got to hurry. So come join us for the Carolla Family Barbecue June 22nd at the ACS Studios, exclusively for our 12-pack Case Club members. We love you guys.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, fitness expert and New York Times best-selling author Ben Greenfield, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, the Oscars were so diverse this year, as a straight male, he wasn't even allowed to watch them. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on.
Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on, and thank yous and so many of yous for sending along so many nice tweets over the weekend about the 10-year anniversary and so on and so forth. We couldn't have done it, and then we can't continue to do it without you. So share this with a loved one and tell them it's free, man. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
Yeah, I saw your tweet and
I got thoughts.
We'll talk Oscar in memoriam and all that. First off, the only reason publicists make the cut is because they have publicists. Like, they are publicists. Sure. I don't feel
from beyond the grave. Their impact is felt.
I don't feel like publicists need to make the cut. Like, there's some. There's just like, she was a secretary at MGM for many years. Like, there's
maybe if you were the first publicist and you wrote the book on publicists, like you have some notoriety.
The in memoriam thing was littered with faces I did not recognize and names I've never heard before because so many of them were like unit managers,
members
and
of the
publicists,
members
stuff.
Of the academy.
Yeah, I just think we got to. We're here.
It's a show.
We got to thin it out. We got to thin that herd. And Arlie is glaring. All right, so I'll get into that, and we shall get into that. I thought just because it's a little breaking. I spoke to Mark Gargis last week on Friday afternoon after everyone had gone home, sort of thing. We did our podcast, Reasonable Doubt. He's on the Jussie Smollett case now.
I refer to him
as the FUBU attorney.
That's good.
He hasn't seen a black client he hasn't loved. And I'm like, now, Mark has, you know, I get that there are many things you could say about Mark Gargis, and half of them would be flattering, and then there's the rest. I know him personally, so I like him as a human. He does the Scott Petersons, and he sort of gets involved with the unpopular cases and the popular. It doesn't matter, but he'll go do whatever. Now, I think, as far as I can tell, when people go, oh, he's chasing that dollar, like, you have to understand when you go, that guy, Mark Gargis has many more dollars than Jussie Smollett has, many more. He's suing the state of Rhode Island. I don't know why. Like, that guy has, like,
he doesn't like the way he looked at him.
He has class action lawsuits against, like, continents and stuff. Right. Like, he doesn't need, you know, oh, he makes $621 an hour and billable, whatever. That's a nothing burger.
He's
for
suing
him.
Fear. Like he's moving on to concepts now. Forget you know, people and places. He's
right.
He's suing so ennui.
There is he does not need the money. He is doing it because he thinks there's been an injustice. Now, I tried to hold his feet to the fire because I have a thought about what Mark is going to do with the Chicago PD and mm-hmm. the story. And here is my thought. But first, should we hear a clip? So it's funny. It's kind of weird knowing things. So, I mean, I'm talking to Mark Garagos on Friday afternoon, and he's going, where did this whole money thing come from? Like, Jussie's doing it to get more money. He didn't say that. Where did this come from? And I'm going, I don't know. And he's going, well, I know where it came from. You need a motive. And this is the motive, whatever. And then I turn on Bill Maher that night, and I see Donna Brazile explaining it was all about money. And it's weird. We're living in a weird world. Mm. And it's also weird if you know Mark Garagos and you hear. So we'll hear Mark Garagos talk about the money first from Reasonable Doubt.
You know, for instance, let me just give you one example. He did it. One of the things that the police chief said yesterday is he did it because he was dissatisfied with his salary. Not only is that not true, they have video evidence that that's not true. And I know, and nobody, you know, certainly they never asked. They didn't do any investigation on that. They didn't talk to his lawyer. They didn't talk to anybody at the production company. They didn't talk to an agent. Nobody. I've done that. I know for a fact that's untrue. That's categorically untrue. So there's no, that's not the motivation, yet that was what was articulated as the motivation. And why do I think that's significant? Motive is not, they don't need motive for a crime. It's not an element of a crime. But it's inexplicable if there's no motive.
All right. So then I get home. So that's Friday afternoon. And then I get home Friday night. I turn on Bill Maher and there's Donna Brazile. Mm-hmm. And Bill's like, he wanted attention or something. And then Donna Brazile, who, by the way, I believe is clinically insane, knows the answer.
He wanted to be a victim. He just didn't want to. You know, go through all the steps.
He wanted a raise. He wanted a raise. He wanted a raise. He wanted money. That's what he wanted. He didn't want. No one wants to be a victim of hate crimes. No one wants to be a victim of being attacked and brutalized because you're gay or you're black or you're Jewish. That's bullshit. He wanted a pay raise and he wanted to bring attention to himself. I'm angry with him. I'm upset with him. And he owes not only the city of Chicago an apology. There are real life victims out there today. And I refuse to shut up because he played a terrible game. And it's painful.
Painful. I always wonder when people are like, it's painful. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like it's a hoax. It's whatever it is, it whatever. But I don't feel like it's painful. It's a lot of adults going, it's pain. It hurts so much.
Hurt?
And like, I don't. I also, a lot of people are like, oh, he was a friend of mine. And now he did this. Like, he was a friend of yours? Right. Like, how is everyone friends?
Right.
Like, this guy plays this guy. People that are 70 years old are going, yeah, this 32-year-old guy. I said, we were good friends. And I'm now in pain because he betrayed me. It's like, I don't feel that way. But she's actually Donna Brazile. Donna Brazile is actually falling under the heading of mom's friends with a bracelet, making a point thing where she's like shaking the hand and it's clanging. And you're going, she must make a point. There's sound coming out of her wrist. Listen to her wrist. You know she's right.
So is this something that Mark would go after for slander? Because she didn't say allegedly. She didn't say, I believe. She said, this is why he did it.
I don't know, but that was one of Mark's things. So, but look, Donna Brazile knows. Mm-hmm. Listen to her, everybody. Bill thought it's because he wanted attention, but she knows it's about the money.
Good thing Bill was corrected.
she just filibustered. But anyway, so then I talked to, so I said to Garagos, come on, man. Like, he said, and I don't know what this next clip has. And we'll play the next Garagos clip so you can kind of get where he's at with Jussie and the Chicago popo.
The police chief's going to come out, and the police chief's going to do this press conference where demonstrably false stuff is stated. And then while a guy's in custody, when they haven't turned over the any discovery whatsoever, then they do a bond hearing on a case where the guy flew back. And I know all of this because I've been consulted on it. The guy flies back in state so he can be there to talk with the cops. And they basically come out after the bond hearing, after it's a 100-grand bond, and they do what can be best summarized as a closing argument by the prosecutor out there in front of the TV cameras. And then they say, okay, now go take a perp walk to a crazed mob of media and other onlookers. And all of this is done coincidentally, 96 hours before the mayoral election. You've got a police chief who's in the hot seat, and then you got Rahm Emanuel making statements and prejudging the whole thing. And then you've got the idea that you've got R. Kelly getting indicted the very next day with the police chief there, who, as I said, is apparently hot to save his job.
By the way, broke my heart to have to take the R. Kelly poster down from Natalia's room ceiling. But enough is enough. We were reluctant to put it up in
the
first place.
You defended the man for a long time.
But after this, it had to be removed from the ceiling and put on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Not just from the ceiling.
Right. But it can't be the last thing she sees before she goes to bed.
That is right.
And you're
unless she sleeps on her side. Sorry.
Basically announcing where the guy lives. At a certain point, there is a kind of reasonable and foreseeable consequences to some of these things.
Okay. So now, I have predictions and I have thoughts. And I'd be curious what your thoughts. So everyone's, I think, first blush is like, what's he getting involved with this for? Mm-hmm. He's not going to win. Mm-hmm. But how's this going to work? I'll tell you, this half of the show brought to you by MedMen at MedMen.com and ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. Castrol Edge as well, titanium strong for maximum engine performance. So I was pushing him on it a little bit because I've started to realize there are two facets to an investigation. Mm-hmm. There is the part where you want to investigate Bill Clinton for Whitewater and some real estate deal that seemed a little murky. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, Monica Lewinsky's coming out and people are getting indicted and mm-hmm. things. And it's something has nothing to do with real estate. There might be some of this with Russian and collusion. We want to look into Trump and Russia. Before you know it, there's a bunch of other guys that are lying mm-hmm. and have bad taxi cab medallions and stuff like that. And then they're going. Yeah. So it ends up like we're looking into this. We will find something and heads shall roll. So my general thought is there is no, I was talking to a guy who used to work at Magic Mountain. You can imagine this. He said they spend millions of dollars a year just on employee compliance stuff. If somebody wanted to come in here from the city into any job, this job, any job, and wanted to walk into here, he could write me up with 5,000 violations. Mm-hmm. He could say, when's the last time you told Chris Maxipata that he needed to take a 10-minute break every 2 hours? I'd go, never. And they'd go, okay, well, we got a big problem.
Those fire extinctions, right there.
Yeah, those fire extinctions need to be replaced every 2 years. Right. It's been 3 years.
You could go to your favorite restaurant, your favorite mm-hmm. kitchen, and favorite everything, and have eaten there a million times. And if you want to take a city health inspector mm-hmm. and just randomly walk into that kitchen, find 17 violations.
Yep.
Now, we all know it's neither here nor there. You're enjoying your mm-hmm. food. It's safe. But that's the way it works.
There's a ladder in the doorway. All those things.
I said to Mark Garagos, this isn't about. So he said, in the state of Illinois, they just had like 10 or 20 guys that were on death row and they were just exonerated with DNA evidence. And I said, yeah, but this isn't that. Mm-hmm. This is going to be there was a guy in death row, and the cop got the murder weapon by kicking in his front door without a warrant.
Right.
And now he's got to walk. It's not that he didn't kill anybody. It's that they screwed up the system. Right. The system got bungled.
Yeah.
Right. And he said, no.
Well.
I don't care what he said. I feel like that's what's going on. Yeah. Now, his thing was, no, that's not the, you'll see that Scott Peterson was innocent.
Yep.
My thing is, these police departments, look no further than OJ. Mm-hmm. They're not what you see on TV. They're a bunch of guys who weren't the top of the class in your high school that got a little comfortable with their whatever, who make $57,000 a year. And there is no such thing as something that's not been screwed up,
right?
According to Mark Garagos. If Mark Garagos wants to get out his jeweler's loop, he will find a million things you did wrong in your investigation and how many times you crossed and took it someone's civil liberties away, whatever it is. And that's what I think he's focusing on. But you guys tell me.
Well, I have a quick question about this. Is this sort of a sleight of hand situation where he no longer wants us to focus on what exactly Jussie did and sort of carried out, but this is sort of what happened later and how in how justice has worked against him? You know what I mean? Like, we're not really talking about what happened anymore.
I said to him pretty much straight out, this is going to be you in an indictment of the system that he passed through, not why he passed through the system. Right. Did he do it or not? He said no.
Okay.
Max Batty, you can see if you can find that one, but I don't see any other way about this, around this, but you tell me, Brian.
Mark says a lot of things. apparently, Colin Kaepernick is getting signed in the next 24 hours. So how did my watch? So that's going to happen, apparently. My thought was between related to exactly what you both said, which was Mark did a lot of talking, surprisingly, and a lot of it, 100% of it had to do with what happened at the press conference and beyond. Nothing about the actual incident, nothing about the police work. Because what's funny was when this whole thing, when the case is cracked and the arrest was made and blah, 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 I was like, damn good job by the Chicago Police Department. They really connected a lot of dots in a short period of time. They found these two dudes. They found the whatever. They did a pretty good job. And here I'm not in the business of predicting, you know, how this case is going to turn out. Mark knows 10,000 times more than I do. But my thought was exactly along the lines of yours, Adam, which is this is going to be more about the process, more about what happened afterwards, more about things done wrong than my client is innocent.
Yes,
that's my thought.
That was my thought, but we'll. We'll see.
Or we take Mark's word.
Mark's very good.
Well,
he's very good.
He does. So there's
pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Well, look, I have explained to people in the past that the North Hollywood bank robber, there was a wrongful death suit brought up against the guy who put 160 rounds into my community. I grew up in North Hollywood, and this guy was firing his banana clips and his AK-47 firing. That guy was I think we can all agree that the North Hollywood bank robbers, nobody deserved to die more than those two guys. Like, these were the worst criminals ever. And it's still somebody. It may have been Garagos. I can't remember. Look, if you're going to say we didn't bring, we didn't call an ambulance for him while he was bleeding out because we'd established a perimeter and we thought at the time there was a third gunman that was at large and we didn't want to endanger the ambulance by bringing them into the perimeter, that's fine. But if I see police helicopter, news helicopter footage of you sitting on a hood of a car smoking and laughing with other cops, then it doesn't make me think you're on high tactical alert. And now we have the worst person in the world and we got a lawsuit.
Yep.
So there is always that.
There's always, a way.
I don't like that part of the law. I don't like the part where we go, well, this cop didn't have a warrant, and he did find the machete on the guy's nightstand with the hair of the chick who was beheaded, but he needed a warrant.
Yeah. Our hands
he didn't
are tied
have
now.
A warrant.
They were investigating another crime.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I don't like that, but we shall see. And Max Patty, you will see if you can find the part at some point where I said to him, yeah, you're going to bust him on the technicality, but not the innocence of Jesse, and he said no.
Okay.
All right.
Can't wait.
Now, he meant his word.
There are things he knows, but he would not and cannot share those. Yeah. So sure. If you just use the yardstick where you go, well, he knew stuff. Why wouldn't he say it? No, he wouldn't.
Right.
He can only kind of say the stuff that we already know.
And to your point from before, Mark will walk right up to that line and just tiptoe on it when no one else will go as far as he does. So he will give us as much as he can possibly do.
Yes, he will. All right. So we'll see if we can find that little snippet first, and we'll get into some Oscar stuff. Mm. Hair and makeup. Ugh. Made me laugh.
I thought what? It was just hair. Oh,
that's right. Yeah, that's right.
It's funny. They were on the chopping block, mm-hmm. hair and makeup, and then yes, and I don't. Yes, and then they brought them, and that was one of the first awards mm-hmm. given out, and it was a goddamn train wreck. All right, let me tell you about that. It's weird. I've seen like preachy acceptance speeches, mm-hmm. and I've seen blowhardy ones, and I've seen like nervous and sort of scattered, and I've seen all the different ones, but I've never seen a worse one.
This one was bumbling.
Yes, but not in a sort of cute way.
No.
All right, let me tell you about MedMen. 2019 has just started, yet history has already been made. The new normal is here. Have you seen it? Finally, the moment when a product that once drove good people to the black market is now revealed is one that's creating a global market. What inspired the symbol of counterculture's now long last just culture? The new normal has arrived to your city, your neighborhood, and it's inside your living room. Have you seen it? I got to tell you guys about this video. I won't tell you who did it, but it's very interesting. Brought to life in a short film that runs just 2 minutes, 120 seconds long. New Normal seeks to leave behind 80 years of unjust prohibition in favor of a safer, happier world. Check out this video. I just watched it. It is mind-numbingly good. And a big guy did it. We'll tell you who it was later. You can check it out. Go to MedMen.com. That is MedMen.com. And check that video out. It is earth-shattering. All right. Oscar recap. Brian has many thoughts. I just want to play you the acceptance speech for best hair and best makeup at the top. And also, by the way, at a certain point, they shut the mics off and they didn't care. They just kind of kept going. Sorry.
Thank you, Adam Perna, our great director, Adam McKay, Christian Bale. What a... Oh, you're here. Go ahead.
That's you. Who did I read that?
No, I already did.
Oh, Plan B, Gary Sanchez.
The voting Academy members and our fellow nominees from the UK and Sweden. Thank you.
Christian Bale, you're fantastic. You're so great to work with and create with and everything. Thank you.
Amy Adams, thank you for bringing us up to your level of commitment.
Sam Rockwell and the 150 other SAG members. Great job.
Susan Matheson.
Jeff Waxman and
Jennifer Maidlaw.
Jennifer Matiloff.
Our DP, Greg Frazier. Our scripty, Kate.
Ann Paula Williams, Jamie Kelman, Adrian Moreau, Leslie Wofford, Christina Waltz.
Chris Gallagher.
Kenny Myers.
Go ahead.
Eric Horn, Brian Wade.
They're still talking. Look, they just shut the mic off, and they're still up there giving
it. I know they're not performers, but it's called an acceptance speech. It's not an acceptance list. Like, say something.
Combined age was 209, right? I mean, they've been in the game for a long time, and they thought they had a good shot at winning because they'd rehearse this thing, which is I'll do the first name, then you do the second name, then she'll do the third name. And then it's also why a band has one lead singer. You know, this is three people doing three different songs like simultaneously. But yeah, have a couple of thoughts. Yep. I mean, you can jot down a few names, but capture the spirit of it. It just made me laugh. And the reason it made me laugh is it was like the first award given, and it was on the chopping block, and I now want it back on the chopping block. I don't want any more of this.
I think a lot of people think that. And I love that there was one main letter, and then the little one pulled out her little CVS receipt and sort of went rogue.
Right.
It was bad.
So thoughts on the Oscars, Brian?
Well, of course, the Arlie Ermey thing, you know, I left the show with the drop and everything. If you guys don't know the name, he's on the show, you should know the name. But Arlie Ermey was a great actor. He was iconic. He was one of the most recognizable actors of the last 30-plus years, ever since Full Metal Jacket, of course. You know where the drop was from.
What is your major malfunction, numbnut?
His first like role that put him on the map is the stuff of film legend. How he got the role, itself has been imitated. It's film legend. It's iconography. And on top of that, he was a huge part of the Toy Story trilogy, the most beloved animated trilogy of all time. He was in Seven. I can go on and on. He's been in a lot of movies. And to leave him out of the In Memoriam thing, I get it. I'm going to preface it by saying not everyone could be. It'd be, you know, an hour long if we put everyone. Blah, blah, blah. He was a very big part of film in the last 30 plus years, and for him not to be up there is very sad. He was a proud Marine, a Vietnam vet, a very proud American, and a lot of people were like, oh, it's because of politics. I reject that. There were Burt Reynolds in there, granted he's a much bigger star, but that kind of makes my point. I feel like the Academy was kind of making a judgment on how good he was or how important he was or how talented he was, and it's too bad because he was a big part of film for 30 years.
The only thing I can think of, but again, where we started off with Mark Geragos and Jussie, and I can only think that they dropped the ball. I can only think that they screwed up. Meaning
that's certainly possible.
I cannot. Obviously, Full Metal Jacket's a great movie. He's the best part of that movie.
Most memorable part of a great movie.
If he was not nominated for a supporting actor, I would be surprised.
He was not. He was nominated for Golden Globe that year, but he was also military advisor.
I know. I get it, but we live in
we should look and see who was nominated that year. 87. It
supporting
been.
Actor. The notion that what's his name won for Little Miss Sunshine.
Arkin.
Grandpa Junkie Perv, one for basically being a corpse in the back of a VW bus. You give Alan Arkin, I don't want all this lifetime achievement as BS. You give Alan Arkin a movie he was halfway in, played an asswipe, and barely did anything. He gets an Academy Award, and Arlie Ermey doesn't get nominated for carrying a film?
That wasn't a nice thing to say. That wasn't
Jesus
designed to make me feel good.
Christ. I thought for sure he'd be nominated. Yeah. It was one of the biggest films that year, and he
Kubrick movie.
Right.
You know, first ballot Hall of Famer director.
I cannot think of anything other than it. Somebody dropped the ball. It slipped through the cracks. Now, you can say, well, you still should be punished.
Right.
In my world, oh, my God, did we screw up is a much better answer than, well, here's why.
Right. Offering some reason for something that does not have a reason.
Right.
Yeah.
Lost to Sean Connery in Untouchables in the Golden Globe nomination, but never not who was nominated
for that's what I was getting at. Sorry, who were the Oscar nominees for Best Supporting
Actor? You find the Best Supporting Actor, you find the five.
Well, I know for a fact that Connery won that year.
And you tell me who was more important to their film, because he carried that film. He was awesome.
The most memorable part.
Right. All right, so sorry, other thoughts?
Oh, other thoughts. Well, okay, so I'm trying to As Bohemian Rhapsody kept winning more and more Oscars.
By the way, great minds. I had dinner with Kevin Hanch, and the first thing out of his mouth during the Oscars, the first thing out of his mouth is how mediocre and bad Bohemian Rhapsody was.
Yeah, like, he's a brilliant guy, obviously.
And he knows story and structure and everything.
It's a mediocre movie.
Right.
But so as it's winning more and more awards, more and more steam's coming out of my ears because I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm like, oh my God, is this going to win Best Picture? Am I going to lose my mind? And I'm trying to pinpoint it because no adult male should be this upset about Oscars or movie. You know what I mean? This is nonsense.
Cisgender. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it was a different story. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So I'm trying to think about it. Trying to pinpoint. In my mind, I stumbled across something you said about sampling, like music sampling. You know what I mean? You're like, you don't like the song. You like what it reminds you of. You like I like that part. You like the part of the original song.
I think I may have complained about that as it pertained to this, or if it wasn't on this podcast, it was somewhere else. But yes, that's my exact same feelings are I saw it with Lynette. Lynette loved it because she kept saying, I listen to those songs, you know, and I was like, yes, you love the songs.
Right, yes, yes. And I thought about that during the opening number. I thought about the opening number, which, of course, is Adam Lambert and Queen, which had nothing to do with the movie. Adam Lambert is not in the movie.
Actually, he is. Two seconds.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Actually, I'm going to use
He is in the movie. You
know, Adam Lambert's in the movie for 2 seconds. Right. What I'm saying is, people, and I forget who it was, didn't you like the opening number? I'm like, yeah. Doesn't mean I like the movie.
Yeah, you like
it reminded
Queen.
Me of this band that was cool and had some great songs. And I'm like, oh, everything. And I kept thinking about all the moments during the Oscars related to Bohemian Rhapsody, like when Mike Myers and Dana Carvey came out and did their Wayne and Garth thing, right? Related to Bohemian. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, yes, that's reminding me that I liked Wayne's World, which was kind of like Queen or involved Queen. Not that I liked the movie. Like, bent over backwards so hard to polish this turd and like, oh no, you don't like the movie, but you like this thing that reminds you of what the movie's about. You like this other thing that reminds you of what the, even when they played Rami Malek's clip for best actor, like best actor, Rami Malek, it was him. It was Freddie Mercury singing. It was just him playing the piano and lip syncing to Freddie Mercury. Do we have the clip?
Yes.
This is the best they could do for his clip. It's Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, I'm with
That's
you.
That's the whole clip. I don't wanna die.
I sometimes wish I'd never been born. It's probably not even playing the piano.
That's the best we can do. That's the best they could do.
Yeah, I agree.
That's brutal, man. The time will not be kind to this.
But then again,
I'm an adult male who's getting worked up about the Oscars.
Albert. 87, Albert Brooks, mm-hmm. Broadcast News, okay, good. Great. Morgan Freeman, Street Smart, don't remember that performance. Remember that. Vincent Gardena, Moonstruck.
Ah, that's a great, yeah, that is good.
Denzel.
Not the iconic role.
Cry Freedom, and Sean Connery, The Untouchables. All right, I'd make some room for Arlie in that.
Let me say one last thing related to Bohemian Rhapsody. Mark my words, mark this day, February, whatever it is, 2019, you will see, the floodgates will open, you are going to see so many more of these made for TV rock
jukebox
epic
movies.
Yeah, biopics that are gonna go. Yeah. I guarantee Bon Jovi is calling his agent right now and be like, get me a meeting with Fox, get me a meeting with Universal. We have to. There's gonna be a Motley Crue one. There's gonna be a Def Leppard one. You're gonna see them all. There's gonna be a Journey one. And it's gonna get worse. It's gonna be worse and worse and worse.
Yes,
the full gates are open.
I agree. And
this is not gonna get good things.
I had a catch. It's always a weird one.
I promise you, I'll buy a poison one.
No,
promise,
rat.
Oh,
promise.
Yuck! Motley Crue. Ugh, what a crap band. I never get. I think that is the whatever we're talking about, the homoerotic attraction of wrestling. I think that's basically the music version of that.
Like,
it's not
life,
good. Yeah. It's just it warms young guys' cockles or something.
It's theatrical in the same way.
Less skin, less spandex.
Less spandex, yes.
Anyway, never got the hair band. Okay. I had this funny moment
I have no thoughts.
I'm with you 100%, Brian.
All right.
I watched Green Book win, and I said to Sonny, I said, I'll bet if you go to Rotten Tomatoes, your dad's movie, The Hammer, will have a higher audience score. I was wrong.
I'd have a higher critic score.
I was wrong. It was an interesting thing. It just won. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, look it up. And the audience has Green Book at 93%. Mm-hmm. The Hammer's 90%, so I was wrong. But the regular critics had it at 80, and the top critics had it at 82, which is the exact same score as The Hammer. It's just weird. It's pretty weird that I didn't know what was going to win or anything. I was just standing. I was like walking through the living room, and I went, hey, and look it up. And it's the same. It's the same score. Not head exploding, but head kind of score. I was also laughing because as I was looking up for things on Rotten Tomatoes and other things like that.
Studying for our game.
I was looking at IMDb scores, and it's like Black Panther, 73. The Favorite, 78. Black Klansman, 75. Vice, 72. It's like, yes, we get it.
There's
everything
nothing,
is 73.
Yeah. There's
it's
nothing good.
Scene.
There's nothing great anymore.
Everything... IMDb, why do you have a scoring system if everything is a 7 and change? Mm-hmm. Or do they stop at 7.7?
No, it goes ostensibly to 10. That's why you can't leave this open to just, you know, just the masses. Like, there has to be some level of expertise or something, because otherwise you're just going to end up with a bunch of 7.5s.
It is.
I'm sure The Godfather is like an 8.1.
Brian, are you ready? Oh, let's get ready. Let's do a segment called The Cancer Didn't Kill Him. He did himself in.
Wow.
Because when he finds out that A Star Is Born on IMDb is 7.9, because, again, you can't get into the 8. Uh-oh, Bohemian Rhapsody, 8.1.
No!
We'll find all his favorite movies that did not crack the 8. Bohemian Rhapsody, everyone.
Brutal.
8.1. Star Is Born, 7.9. Okay. Vice, you like, 7.2.
Yep. You're making my case for me.
The Favorite, 7.8.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. I'd like to find some of your favorite movies and see if they crack the 8s, because Bohemian Rhapsody sure did.
That's brutal.
That's right, brutal.
Yeah.
That's rough, man.
All right.
8.1. I'll bet The Godfather is like an 8.3. That's absurd.
I watched the things in dribs and drabs. I didn't watch the whole thing like straight through. I was backstage for the last two, so I don't have an objective kind of way of. I was fine with no host. I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts were. What was there? Oh, and quickly, I'll let you noodle on that for a second. In Memoriam, my beef with In Memoriam is, sometimes they show a picture of the deceased person, like Penny Marshall, and they have a cigarette in their hand. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, find one without a cigarette in their hand, because it makes me wonder if that's what brought them down.
It's implied in the picture.
But it's just her sort of directing, but you can kind of see that there's a butt. She's got a nail in her left hand, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Now, other people don't notice. That's my job. I notice, and then I start thinking, wait a minute. She was married to Rob Reiner.
Oh,
Rob Reiner
that clip.
Is the biggest non-smoking zealot. He is, you know, the nicotine new deal would be his, what he would champion through Congress. Like, he has been the tip of the spear for non-smoke. And it's like, it's a kind of thing where it's like, yeah, I don't want my kids to smoke. I wish my employees didn't smoke, or if they smoke, you smoke outside. But I haven't made it a full-time job. He has, and you kind of wonder if maybe living with the shrew that, you know, they had a few arguments about take it outside and her going, Laverne and Shirley bought this house, bub, so I'll smoke in the living room if I want. You know, there had to be. Then the divorce.
Right.
There had to be something, right?
Yeah, but in a way, don't you kind of like that she has a cigarette in her hand? Like, that's her final F you.
I'm fine with her. I'm just wondering. I used to always kind of, with Rob Reiner, who I like, I used to always think, why so animated on the smoking thing? Like, we all know the kid, what's his name, Adam, the kid that was like abducted and killed, and now he's made his life work to bring these guys to justice.
John Walsh.
Yeah.
John Walsh. Thank you. All right, I get it. There's something in the past that has made him quit his job as an attorney and take this on full time. Whatever. We all have that, but I always kind of wondered that with Rob. Like, hey, you don't smoke. What do you care? I think there's got to be some bad marriage. Second and third hand marriage smoke.
You can
connection
see that. There's a possibility
here.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
It's on the table.
This is what I do to entertain myself when I'm watching In Memoriam. I will tell you guys quickly that Not Taco Bell Material, my stand up special, is going to air on Wednesday. And there's a few places like Austin and Dallas. Oh, I don't need San Francisco. That's going to sell out. Washington, D.C. There's a few. So Burbank sold out. Denver sold out. Phoenix is sold out. Seattle sold out. But there are a few places where there's just a few more to go.
Mm-hmm.
And
let's do it.
We'll get it. Mike August had worked out some promo stuff for me to do to move a few tickets the last second. One of them was San Diego, which was removed from the thing, and the other one was for Burbank, which is sold out.
Ew.
So And every time I say to Mike, why are we promoting something that's sold out? He goes, how's it going to hurt?
It's airtight logic.
That's
can't
true.
Argue that.
Yeah,
I mean,
he'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Can't argue that. So there's a few more out there to go. And if you want, you just go to Tugg, TUGG.com, and check that out. Did you find Garrigus saying he was going to find something else? Well, all right, play a little clip of that. We'll see what you guys think. Sorry. Is this a fair statement? They're guys that get let off of death row because the factual evidence was not there. And then there are guys who get let off of death row because the cop never got a warrant, kicked in the door of this guy's apartment, and grabbed the revolver from the nightstand with no warrant and no judicial anything. He went sort of rogue, which isn't to say that the guy didn't do the murder. It's to say the process was not upheld.
Well, that, I'll push back on that because the I believe, and I've cited this, there's several studies that were done. I believe that virtually all of the ones that were done in Illinois and nationally were a product of the Innocence Project, which was Barry Scheck and Peter Neufeld's organization, and that they were exonerated by DNA evidence that they didn't have at the time. And there was some statistic, and I'll be wrong and somebody will tweet it out to me, but there was some statistic about in either 6 out of 10 cases or 7 out of 10 of these cases where people have been exonerated. And the Innocence Project is not, they don't, their writs of habeas corpus, which are the way generally that they overturn these things, are usually based on factual innocence. And so the factual innocence is that now they've got, for instance, a piece of clothing or a rape kit, and they're able to test it. You know, prior to 2003, in California, for instance, there was no generally accepted mitochondrial DNA testing. So they, now that they have that, they can do it, and they could exclude somebody who previously been convicted. And in 6 or 7 times out of 10, it was always a conviction where somebody was convicted by eyewitness testimony, which is called direct testimony, which is probably the most fallible.
Well, I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. I'm just saying, as an example, are we talking in the Smollett case, to the degree that you can talk about it, are we talking about factual evidence, or are we talking about a misuse of the process of collecting evidence?
Right now, I will tell you, they have not turned over any discovery. So as a lawyer, I can't tell you other than what they put out there yesterday. I will tell you that the process, in my humble opinion, was abused yesterday. I think it demonstrably. I think any lawyer who watched that and didn't think that that was that implicated the ABA model rules doesn't know the ABA model rules. That's number one. But number two, much of what was said, I know to be demonstrably false. So that, you know, I kept waiting to hear something that I didn't know already. And so that, to my mind, is a red flag.
Still not what it's not what I got out of him. But you have to listen on, because at some point I did say, is it they're screwing up the process or is the guy innocent? And he alluded to the innocence. That was him doing a very long walk around.
That was his answer.
That was a very long walk around, yeah. What we were sort of talking about. But at some point, I may have gone back. Thank God that only took 8 minutes. At some point, I went to him and I went, but are we talking about this or are we talking about that? And he said, oh, there's things in the innocence department. So you can look for that, Max Zapata. Because what you just played is basically what we just said, right? Essentially? As you guys feel that way?
Well, we're waiting for a reveal that there was more coming about his innocence.
He alluded. He did say it at some point. So keep listening to the tape. I will tell you guys about ZipRecruiter. Hiring used to be hard. Not anymore. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, confusing review process. Today's hiring is easy. You just go to one place, ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. Plus, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and puts spotlights on top candidates so you never miss a great match. 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Within the first day. It is ZipRecruiter. Right, Dawson?
Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ADAM. ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
So Max Pat'd probably be toward the end of me talking to Garrigus about Jesse, and we'll see if we can find that. Now, let's see. Yeah, one thing that was cool as it pertained to the Oscars, somebody sent me, which is the Ford Ferrari theatrical movie with Christian Bale and Matt Damon. Mm-hmm. Matt Damon playing Carroll Shelby, mm-hmm. and Christian Bale playing
Enzo Ferrari?
No, I'll tell you in a second. It always screws me up. It always screws me up. Anyway, I'll tell you in one second. Ken Miles. I don't know why Ken Miles screws me up. But Ken Miles is not a known person. So it is the story of Ken Miles and of Carroll Shelby is what this is telling me. There's no one else in the movie who you've heard of. And you have to pick, when you pick a story, like you pick World War II, you have to drill down to Dunkirk or something. You have to pick a moment or relationships, whatever. And in the 24-hour war, that is a big segment of that movie, is Ken Miles and dying and blah, blah, blah.
He's the one that has to pull back at the finish line, correct?
Yes, and then he died six weeks later testing. He was going to win the Triple Crown. He's going to win Sebring, he's going to win Daytona, and he's going to be the first guy to win Le Mans the same year, and then he got screwed and blah, blah, blah. So that's a great tragic story. Somebody sent me a Variety or whatever, it was going to be a summer movie. They moved it to award season.
Oh.
They moved it back to November for awards consideration. So that that means Christian Bale, they think maybe, or Matt Damon, maybe, whatever, which is good for us because we got a Shelby doc that's just being finished and that doc.
Yeah. So white hot.
Hopefully.
Do you know who's directing it? No, I know.
James Mangold.
You're from 310 to Yuma, who just came up on the last show.
Right. Yeah. Good, great director. So this thing could be a real Oscar contender, so that's exciting for us. All right. Last thoughts, you twos, on the Oscars.
Well, seeing the ladies come out at the beginning, it was kind of hard not to be like, I'd like to see them again a few times.
Just host.
They're so, it's like, I wonder, with all the chaos of the Kevin Harts and all the, everyone's gun shy and everyone's scared, do you think they were offered, like, will you guys just do the show? And they said no? Because they're perfect and everybody loves them.
I can tell.
Maya, Tina, and Amy.
They're perfect.
They're good. Nobody has a problem with any of them.
Here's what I think. The doing something like hosting the Oscars, if you're a busy celebrity, is a major hassle. It's a major hassle. It is stop all that you're doing and have this thing. And there's two relationships you can have with it. It's basically like saying, you're going to have your first professional UFC fight in 7 weeks. And you go, okay. Now, you can put down that sandwich and go to the gym right now, or you can sit there and eat the sandwich. But either way, you're getting into the cage. So every single thing you do from that point on is like, I probably should be training, right? But if I'm not training, I don't have to train. But then I'm going to walk out there and it's not going to, I'm going to get my ass handed to me. So it'll ruin, I know what it's like because I've had versions of this, which is like, you want to just go, hey, it's Saturday. Let's hang out and do nothing. And you're like, I should be working on this thing. And it kind of hangs over your head. So now, but it's an honor to do. But it's a hassle. So now you have this big hassle, and now it's a big hassle, and you're going to get destroyed on Twitter,
Either way.
Everyone's going to have a problem, or someone's going to take a deep dive into some bits you used to do on SNL 14 seasons ago. Now it's a hassle mixed with another hassle. Mm. It used to be hassle versus honor. Mm. Now it's hassle, honor, hassle.
And career destroyer.
And it's like, screw it.
Yeah.
Not worth it.
Why?
And by the way, people are in the... People are circling the wagon, celebrities, everyone, circle wagon, go into the four corner, run out the clock, old reference. But I was saying to Garagos, guess who never has done an interview? Colin Kaepernick.
Mm.
I know Garagos is going, don't go Kathy Griffin on my ass. Like, you're going to get into this situation. People are start asking questions, and it's going to go good for a while, and then you're going to get destroyed. Like, just don't do anything.
No, you're
like,
a symbol.
We're at a point where I think publicists, agents, attorneys, handlers, whoever, are just going, say anything. Just don't do anything.
Yeah.
Whatever we want to say about Colin Kaepernick, he is giving us no fuel. Yep. There's nothing there.
It's a self-perpetuating machine.
Yes. Right.
Or the Nikes of the world. You know what I mean? Like, let Nike tell the story. Let them make a 60-second commercial on your behalf.
People, I think Jerry Seinfeld feels this way about performing on college campuses. Yep. I think a lot of people are saying it's not worth it. And as much as you think celebrities and comedians and whomever, as much as you think of them as bold truth tellers, you know, in the vein of Lenny Bruce or George Carlin or whoever. No. Everyone's in damage. Everyone's protecting their lead right now.
Protecting the mortgage.
Yeah,
like proactive damage control.
Yeah, like, hey, Will Ferrell, right now, you're beloved and you're rich. Why are you
way.
Going out
Leave
there?
That,
why are
like
we
that.
Doing it? Why
Take
are we messing?
Take your Razzie like a man. Go home.
Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
And it's not what you want out of art, but that's what we've created because we're woke.
Yeah.
So all woke, no joke. Wow. That's the new era we're living in. We got all the woke minus the goddamn joke.
You deserve a sniff.
Sniff-worthy.
Thank you, Dawson's giving me the index finger.
That's good stuff,
that's as big as any Oscar award anyway.
He's ordering burritos.
Just Dawson, one four pack.
All right, so final thoughts. Sorry, yes. They all three walked out, and I was like, yeah, let them do a few segments. Right.
I thought it was disjointed. I didn't think it was a very good show. I missed the host. I missed the bits. I missed the candy falling down from the ceiling, all that stuff. The pictures, the selfie, all the stuff that you've come, all the moments that you love
the
from the last few years.
Yeah.
I missed the honorary Oscar. Remember they give out the Lifetime Achievement Award? They don't do that anymore. I miss the celebrating the whoever, the Hitchcock or the whoever of the world. Like, give them their moment.
We have the Garagos clip. All right. All right. So I'm going to have Mark possibly remain silent when I say it doesn't seem highly likely that we're going to find out a bunch of evidence that he was an innocent victim of a brutal street attack. And it was as reported initially, but we may find out many other things to do with the process and how he was treated along the way that could swing things his direction in a positive way.
Well, I would probably push back on that.
Go ahead.
I have not seen anything that supports this idea or the narrative that they put out there that he was in cahoots with anything. They've got a whale of a case against the two guys, the two brothers, but that's it.
And the two brothers seem pretty flawed in the credible witness department. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes. You're not going to get any pushback from me on that.
Ooh.
Plenty of evidence against the two guys he knew from the show and had interaction with?
Well,
maybe he tried to big time him and they beat him up.
Text with that night?
Yep.
Once again.
Never know.
I don't. Hey, I'm with me.
you always are.
But
loyal.
He said, that's what he said.
Maybe that $3,500 check didn't clear for the training session. You never know.
Hey, it's Jesse. I'm going to need that money back.
he's on the case, and I don't know why, but there's something he knows, or there are things he knows that we don't know. I'm assuming when somebody sees, I'm assuming he vets it, and he's going on information that we're not aware of. We shall see. I also assume it's going to circle back to exactly what I said, but we shall see. And those guys,
Abel and Ola,
those two brothers will not make for great witnesses once we start scratching their lottery ticket.
Unless they go in shirtless, then they'll make for great witnesses.
All right, let's see. Ben Greenfield is a nutritionist, a trainer, he's everything else. Got a lot of thoughts about diet and exercise, and I'm very interested in this guy's done ultra marathons, and he's one of the he's a health and fitness expert, New York Times bestseller. We'll bring him in, and we'll talk to him right after this.
Thanks to you, Adam Carolla's first stand-up special ever, not Taco Bell material, is appearing in theaters nationwide. Tickets are selling, and in many cases, the show is sold out, so thank you. We can still use your help in a few places. Chicago, Illinois at AMC Showplace Galewood 14. Cincinnati, Ohio at Showcase Springdale 18. Dearborn, Michigan at AMC Star Fairlane 21. And in St. Louis, Missouri at AMC Esquire 7. There's plenty of tickets left to these shows. All showings are Wednesday night at 7:30. So Chicago, Cincinnati, Dearborn, and St. Louis. Get it on. Get tickets and information at our website, adamcarolla.com. Pre-sales for Adam Carolla Not Taco Bell material are available now on chassis.com and on iTunes.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Congratulations, Adam Carolla, on 10 years of The Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, Adam. How you doing, little buddy? It's Harlan, and I wanted to congratulate you on 10 years of podcasting. The only way I know how. Here you go, buddy. Just threw my neck out on your behalf. Happy 10th, buddy. I love ya. Go put some apple crisp in your hair.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Ben Greenfield is here. He's a fitness and health expert, New York Times best-selling author. He's got a podcast, Ben Greenfield Fitness. And you can check it out at Podcast One and Apple Podcast as well. Good to see you, Ben.
Good to see you.
So you've done a lot of the ultra events, Ironman. So you've competed in six Ironmans.
Unfortunately, yeah. No, I did 13 of them.
Oh.
But I did six of the ones in Hawaii.
Oh, well, six of the Ironman.
Burn the rubber off your shoes.
Can you explain one thing to me? I could never figure it out. It was like you do 2.4-mile swim.
Uh-huh.
You do a full marathon, and then you do a 112-mile bike ride. My feeling
kind
is,
of, but you do the bike ride after the swim,
right?
And then you do the run.
Why not a 100-mile bike ride? Like it's weird to me that it's 112. Is it for one place to another place?
Based off the metric?
Do I look like a triathlon historian to you? I think what happened was when they first came up with the race, they were going to race around some island. It wasn't always on Kona. I think it was on a different island, and it came out to 112 miles, and they just kind of stuck with that.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. I feel like make it a 3-mile swim, make it a 100-mile ride, and then the marathon we got.
Yeah, round it out.
So you have thoughts. You've talked to Vinny. You have thoughts about his diet, your diet, and there's a couple things I'd heard about you that I felt interested in, which is one is not just going in the gym and being under the fluorescent lights, but the sort of getting out into the world, taking walks, yeah, chopping wood, riding a mountain bike or whatever. Give us your thoughts on that.
Well, hopefully that doesn't make us all feel self-conscious being under fluorescent lights right now. Now, I think what you may be getting at is this idea that when we look at all these blue zones, right, where areas where people are living a disproportionately long period of time, you see a lot of things. You know, they fast and they eat a lot of wild plants and they hang out in social situations quite a bit, and everybody has a glass of alcohol with dinner. There are all these things that kind of weave together in Nicoya and Sardinia and Okinawa and all these blue zones, but you don't see...
That's like where the population lives till over 100 or extraordinarily long.
I like to say centenarians because it makes me sound smart.
You know, there used to be, Max Pat, I'll put you on the spot here, but I think there used to be like a Dan and Yogurt spot or something that showed the old Russian woman. Like, and so
it's a fetish site you're on.
I never saw Dan and Yogurt
in any of the epidemiological research, but it's possible.
So first things first, it's spread out. Like if it was one nationality, maybe you'd think about it being the one nationality, but it's multiple different nationalities, and the through line is what?
Well, you see a lot of stuff on the through line, but the exercise piece is you don't see exercise as a prevailing characteristic or even a characteristic at all. Exercise in the way we think of it in a westernized society, right? CrossFit gym or strapping on your shoes and going and pounding the treadmill and the health club. That's this fabricated phenomenon brought on by us living in a post-industrial era where we got to sit on our asses 8 hours a day, and so we try to fix that primal urge to move by going into the gym at 5 a.m. or to the club at 5 p.m. after work to go and just pound ourselves into oblivion for 45 minutes or an hour. And that's not really a healthy way to live. And what you see in a lot of these areas where people are living a long time is they have low-level physical activity all day long. A lot of time outdoors, a lot of time in the sunshine. They're moving. They're not crushing their bodies each day. And don't get me wrong. Like if you look at gyms are a new thing, right? They're a new thing in the past 100 years or so. But before that, it was athletes, it was gladiators, it was Olympians, it was some of the warriors. Like very small subset of the population that exercised the way that we exercise now. And they didn't do it to live a long time. They did it to be able to get a gold medal or to fight harder.
Right. It's a little Rocky versus Drago. A little bit. You know, one guy's strapped to a machine and he's juicing.
Yeah, go out in the snow and drag a sled.
Commercial. Yeah. I'll show you the Dannon. 1977 Dannon commercial. Never thought about this until now. Sorry.
In Soviet Georgia, there are two curious things about the people. A large part of their diet is yogurt, and a large number of them live past 100. Now, we're not saying that Dannon yogurt will help you live longer, but Dannon low-fat yogurt is a wholesome, natural food rich in nutrition. By the way, 89-year-old Bagrat Tapagwa liked Dannon so much, he ate 2 cups. That pleased his mother very much.
That's good.
Dannon, America's number one.
Oh my
yogurt.
God! What a
I
load
knew there was
of,
an old.
What a load of bullshit! So
well, they're not saying Dannon will do something.
Well,
for you.
You actually do see a high amount of fermented food intake in a lot of these people, you know, for the microbiome. But they're eating like full fat, rich, fresh goat yogurt that was
not a parfait.
It was made a few weeks ago without all the rotten fruit in the bottom
of
it.
The good
and
news
the
is
added cane syrup.
The guy headed up the ad agency who made that spot is dead.
So. Long since.
You don't have to worry about
good
that.
Good news. He died at 62 of heart attack.
German. I don't know why. It's the only commercial I ever remember is the Blue Zone commercial.
Yeah, and they eat it with the granola and the plastic spoon that you dump out the plastic container that comes on top.
So you're saying, and I'm with you in this, like I'm starting to realize that the synthesized version of life, you know, I don't like video games. I feel like, what are we doing playing the video game?
Or when virtual we could be reality, out, sex.
Whatever. Like, I'm starting.
We're okay with that.
I'm starting to think that it's all just sort of getting back to us as animals, us needing to be outside, interact, have not be sitting in an ergonomically correct chair for 17 hours a day and then running our ass off for 20 minutes mm-hmm. on a treadmill, but just a general movement yeah. and chores. And
right. Unless at your own personal Mount Everest is that you want to go do a triathlon or an obstacle course race or a CrossFit competition.
Right.
Sure, go out and train for that and bust yourself up in the gym, but don't fool yourself into thinking that's what helps you live a long time.
Right. So you tell me if this is fair, but my thing is sort of be on your feet. If you want to wash if your car needs to be washed, go wash it
yeah.
and go down to the garage and go get some stuff mm-hmm. and then come back up again and have these like sort of projects and have this movement that's attached to the projects and have the engagement.
More natural. But yeah, I'm a blogger. I'm a podcaster. I sit inside in my office up in Washington. I look out in the yard and we have goats and chickens and vegetable garden beds. And my wife is out picking up rocks and hauling alfalfa down to the goats and pushing a wheelbarrow around and pulling weeds. And
she's a slave.
And she's out in the sunshine. Yeah, she's a slave.
Well,
she's
you sit up in your ivory tower and laugh.
But she is so healthy. And she rarely goes to the gym. And she's strong and she's got good body fat percentages and she gets her blood work done and it looks stellar. But she's not going into the gym and, you know, bench pressing and running on the treadmill.
What do you think I've been saying along with my many, here's what's going to happen with my crystal brain, all of this stuff of put on sunscreen, spray on sunscreen, don't go out. If you walk to your mailbox, you got to put sunscreen on yeah. before you go to your mailbox. I'm like, what about all the vitamin D and what about being outside and what about being a human being? And really, we're supposed to spray this chemical like all over our face before we go anywhere?
No, we are not.
I don't know how history's going to be to that decision.
Did you see that recent Outside magazine article? They wrote an article. It was called Sunscreen is the New Margarine. And they were talking about how everybody used to think margarine was healthy, and then we found out it's got all these rancid fats in it and can give you atherosclerosis, you know, and same thing with Crisco and vegetable oil. And then we find out the same thing about sunscreen. People who do sunscreen, they have higher risk of skin cancer. You absorb all the chemicals through your skin. And my take on sunscreen is that if you're going to go out and get burnt, be smart. You know, get some good sunscreen. Go to a website like the Environmental Working Group. It's a fantastic site. They keep track of all the best shampoos and like all the things you can put on your body that don't bring a chemical cocktail into your blood through your skin. Go find one of those good sunscreens and use that, but only use it if you're planning on being out of the beach for 4 hours and you risk burning. Otherwise, you know, the sun is great for you. And, you know, the other thing that's interesting is a lot of people don't have the gene that allows them to make vitamin D from sunshine. So it gets very genetically specific too. Some people can't get vitamin D from the sunshine, and those are people that actually need to supplement with vitamin D.
Well, how would somebody ascertain that? Like what would be – someone's listening and they go, hey, I'd like to get started.
Yeah, I got to get
a workup. How does this work?
You get a genetic test. That's actually what I recommend to a lot of people who are trying to figure out what kind of diet they should eat. You know, if you want to eat like your ancestors ate 100 years ago or 500 years ago, you got to kind of figure out where your ancestors came from, and you can drip saliva into a tube, which is actually hard to do. I figured out if you sniff peanut butter, you actually salivate, or at least I do.
Oh, really?
So I sniff the peanut butter, and that allows me to salivate into the tube, mm-hmm. and it's just a very small amount of saliva, and you ship that off, and within a couple of weeks, you know, are you a fast coffee metabolizer or a slow coffee metabolizer? Can you make vitamin D from sunshine or can't you? Do you have a high risk of whatever, macular degeneration or is that not a worry for you? And it's 23andMe is obviously one of those companies a lot of people talk about, but there's a lot of them now that do genetic testing.
So it's kind of like I'll give you an example and I don't know, you tell me this is right. My wife is 100% Italian, and I watch her consume massive quantities of pasta.
Mangia.
And bread. Like, she'll just take bread and just roll it around in the olive oil and do the better, and then more carbs and carbs on top of carbs and doesn't gain an ounce.
Yeah.
Now, she's got a good metabolism, but could that be the heritage? She comes from the place of pasta.
That's the heritage, but then you could look at the genes, right? So people who come, you could say the same thing about like an Asian population that ate a lot of rice. They have a lot more of this gene called the AMY1 gene. It pre-digests starch in your mouth, so your pancreas releases more insulin when you eat the starch and you have a lower blood sugar response to it. There are also, and there's a fantastic study a couple years ago out of Israel on this. People who come from a genetic heritage in which they ate a lot of starch, they have a different ratio of bacteria in their gut. They actually have a more stabilized blood sugar response to things like the pastas and the breads and the rices and the potatoes because of their gut makeup.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called a microbiome balance, and you can actually look at this if you were to go get a poop test, which is another test that you can do to kind of see what your microbiome looks like.
You got
to
spit poop into a tube.
You got to spit your poop. You got to sniff peanut butter and spit your poop into a tube. That's actually like a toilet paper swab.
So basically what you're saying is it'd be a good idea for everyone to figure out sort of how they were wired and how their gut and everything else. Get a good idea of that, and then do your diet, sort of curtail your diet to that versus here's the diet I'm going to do, because it's not a one-size-fits-all.
Curtail your diet to that, and then you can get the stool tested, you can get the saliva tested for your genetics, and then you should do some kind of a blood test so you can fill in the gaps and see whatever. My vitamin D is low, so I should supplement with vitamin D, and if your vitamin D is high, the copious amounts of vitamin D your neighbor is taking that can cause calcium to get pulled into the arteries and calcify your arteries isn't something you should take if your vitamin D is already high. So you can figure out how you should supplement as well. But yeah, you weave all this stuff together and you can figure out how you're supposed to eat. And maybe the ketogenic diet that helped your coworker lose 20 pounds leaves you in a state of inflammation and very high cholesterol, like very, very high cholesterol and high triglycerides or large amounts of inflammation in your arteries.
Is there any blood test that is a home version? Like, I know there's diabetes and you can prick your finger and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, there's nothing. You have to go into a lab, right?
Well, you don't have to prick your finger for diabetes. I wear one of these.
Oh, sorry. What are you wearing?
That's a continuous blood glucose monitor. You can put them on your arm or on your stomach, and it'll send your phone whatever your blood sugar is all the time. So I've learned amazing things about my blood sugar. It spikes through the roof in response to certain foods, and for example, coffee throws my blood sugar through the roof, as does if I go out and do some kind of a sprint type of exercise session or something like that. The blood sugar goes up, but that's because my body's releasing its own sugars, right? And so that's not as big of an issue as me knowing that, say, like a sweet potato versus a regular potato keeps my blood sugar lower. Ultimately, to answer your question, there's home blood tests that you can get. There's a lot of them now.
There are
a ton of companies. They'll ship. Well, it's not technically a home blood test. They ship a little form to your house or to your email inbox. You print that off, and then you can have a phlebotomist come to your home and take the blood, or you can drive to. I have a Safeway 2 miles from my house. I go to Safeway. I do my grocery shopping. I go in the little pharmacy back behind Safeway. They take my blood. I give them that form, and then within a couple of weeks, I've got all the results in my email inbox, and I don't have to go to the doctor for it.
So good to know. So everybody who's interested in this should probably go out, participate in this, figure out what direction you should go before you start going that direction. I mean, I think most people who are listening kind of get the, exercise, take it easy on the sweets and less of this and more of that. But it's a little bit of a shot in the dark because obviously my wife's genetic predisposition as it pertains to pasta is completely different than mine. So why would we be on the same diet? Right.
Which introduces an interesting social dynamic when we live in like a genetic cultural melting pot where you might be married to someone with a different ancestry as you. I mean, you kind of got to meet in the middle.
Why white people need to circle the wagons. I agree with Ben here. More than ever, we need to stay together.
Ben, you're making a lot of sense with your, protect your own race talk. I wouldn't dare say myself. You said it.
That's definitely not what I'm saying.
We got your message. You can leave it at that. You can leave it right there.
All right, let me hit for 30 seconds. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep the metal parts from rubbing and running away and getting all worn down. Three times, fool. Stronger against leading full synthetic. Three times stronger against viscosity breakdown. They did a test. They used a 530 viscosity grade, and it's 3 times better Castrol Edge.
That could have almost been a condom commercial.
It could have, yeah. There is a lube.
Some overlap.
So, Ben, what would be anyone who's listening who's saying, like, oh, this makes sense? And I'm all about, like, I totally agree, go out, take your dog for a long walk versus go to the gym and watch the TV with the sound down and run on the treadmill. Get the workup. Like, if anyone's listening and they go, I want to get started, we should get the saliva, the stool, and the blood workup just sort of first things first.
We live in an era where it's becoming increasingly affordable to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, it would have cost like $10,000 a decade ago at the Princeton Longevity Institute or whatever, and now you can order most of this stuff to your house. So that's pretty easy. I mean, in an ideal scenario, you could just go, you know, ask your grandparents what they ate and if they could remember what their mm-hmm. parents ate and figure it out that way. But I think self-quantification is a pretty good way to go about doing mm-hmm. things. And when it comes to the exercise component, you know, what a lot of people will say is, well, I'm at the office all day. How the hell am I supposed to take my dog out for a walk, you know, 3 times a day and get out into the sunshine? And that's what I have to do. You know, I was talking about watching my wife outside the window while I'm in my office. I've got one of those little balance boards I can stand on, the standing desk with the hand crank, mm-hmm. so I can take it up or I can take it down. I've got a treadmill right in front of my desk to the left of it. So if I decide I don't want to stand, I want to take a phone call, I hop on the treadmill and I can walk. I've got a little kettlebell behind that treadmill, so if I have a break in between calls, I can stop and do some kettlebell swings. So by the time I get to the end of the day, I'm kind of sort of simulating what a hunter, gatherer, gardener, ancestral lifestyle
slave
might
owner,
be.
Slave yeah. driver.
Yeah. Got to circle yeah. the wagons, white people.
Yeah. Yeah. A wheelbarrow
yeah,
in my
so,
office.
Yeah, so I mean it's like it's this thing that we're all kind of waking up to, which is sort of just be up. Mm-hmm. Move, be on your feet. Like, you can't drive everywhere. You can't sit everywhere. You can't watch everything. Like, just it seems it's a little boring in the sense that everyone wants to go to the gym and throw around the weights or feel like they're doing something.
Well, there's a societal pressure. They feel like they have to. And you don't have to. I mean, you can do some of those things I was just talking about in your office and go for a walk when you get home. Or in the morning, in the sunshine, before you head to that. Like, there, exercise for weight loss is not necessarily that great as much as just an active lifestyle for weight loss and, you know, eating good food.
No, pardon the pun, free lunches in nature, as Dr. Mm-hmm. Drew would always say. Mm-hmm. And it's also stuff that we've always known how this worked. People used to be fit. What did they do? Well, they didn't have margarine, they didn't have sunscreen, and they worked. Mm-hmm. They moved. They, mm-hmm. like, tilled the soil. You saw the old Russian guys on the Dannon commercial.
Right, churning that Dannon.
Working the land, man.
We just need more soil tilling buckets in the WeWork facilities.
All right, Ben Greenfield's the name. Ben Greenfield Fitness is the podcast, and Podcast One, and Apple Podcasts as well. And check out his website, BenGreenfieldFitness.com. Thank you very much for joining us, our friend. We will take a quick break. We'll come back with the news right after this.
The Adam Carolla Show celebrates a decade of podcasting. Saturday, March 10th at the Peterson Auto Museum. The fun begins at 2 p.m. with the 10-year anniversary show, CarCast, with Adam Carolla, Matt DeAndrea, and special guest, Jay Leno. Plus a celebrity car show throughout the day. At 5 p.m., join us for the screening of Uppity, the Willie T. Ribbs story, followed by a Q&A with the Ace Man and Willie T. And at 8 p.m., the 10-year anniversary podcast of The Adam Carolla Show, featuring Adam's better half, Jimmy Kimmel. Tickets for CarCast, The Car Show, and the Uppity screening are still available. Get yours now at adamcarolla.com.